When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Avs win probably made it a little bit tougher than it had to be, but they get the job done in Dallas. It's like the third time they've won there in the last 5 years. Yeah. So not a very often occurrence. Enjoy it when it does come around.
And no Joe Pavelski points.
And no Joe Pavelski
That's
points.
Right.
What a night. Yeah. What a night.
Shut him down.
The changing of the guard.
Well, let's not get carried away yet.
Look, I really like this hockey game. It was a fun one.
Yeah.
Avs kind of had a tough stretch in the 10 minutes of the second period. Let's let Blaze do the 60-second rundown. He got signed up for it. I don't want to take it from him.
Let's go. Do we got the clock or what?
All right, Dad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
3, 2, 1.
The Avs came out and played a really good first period. And then, you know, it paid off by Dallas taking some stupid penalties. And what happens when you take stupid penalties? Kyle McCarr scores his 200th goal.
That is true.
Not his 200th goal.
Yes.
Oh, 200th
good
point.
Try.
Did I say goal? Yeah. 200th point. Big milestone for him. It was great.
Yep.
Moving forward, we go into the second period. Avs come out not playing their best game there. Some nonsense happens in the defensive zone. Was it England pushed?
Yeah.
Who did he push
Robertson.
In?
Robertson.
Robertson in, and goal trickles in. Tied up 1-1. Then it just kind of nothing goes on. There's a fight.
Yep, yeah, great
ben
fight.
Ben gets knocked out. Uh-oh, we're getting close here.
Hurry up.
Going to third period. Rodriguez shoots. New hook. Gets the rebound. Scores a goal. Go to OT. All abs, ab win.
Good enough.
See, this needs to be like soccer. We can add an undisclosed amount of bonus time to the end. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially with, shootout overtime.
Yeah, it's hard to do all that in 60 seconds.
Yeah. The overtime was kind of
it
funky.
It was pretty weird, yeah.
They are definitely like being a lot more cautious in the overtime.
They were merry-go-rounding the offensive zone. I didn't understand what they were doing.
Bednar said, whoever loses this game for us in overtime is getting benched. We'll get to all that, though. Rewind it. We can break everything down. Weirdly kind of lost in the story of the night because it ends up going to an OT and a shootout. Cale Makar did something that no defenseman has ever done before. Scored 200 points in 195 games.
Yeah, unreal.
We've talked for his entire NHL career about how this kid is special and how he's changing the position and all this stuff. Probably not the last record to fall.
No.
For Cale Makar. We'll put it that way. Sure is going to be interesting to watch how it develops, but you also, like, you've seen Cale Makar step it back up to that elite level, right?
Yep.
Wasn't scoring very well the first 10, 12 games of the season. Now he's got 5 goals, making it look easy a lot of the time with some of those. The shot tonight just blasts it to the top corner, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess he can still do that. Cool. Is there anything, like, what do you even say about Cale at this point? Yeah,
I mean, to me, the most impressive part is that he's 12 games clear of the next closest defenseman on that list.
Yep.
And what is it, Zubov?
I
don't Something think with a it's Z. Zubov, but it might be.
It's, doesn't matter. It's not that he, like, he set the record, and if he didn't do it tonight, he would have tied the record. It's like, no, he could have gone three more fucking weeks, and he still would have been in that realm. It's unbelievably impressive. You know, Pete DeBoer was asked this morning about, do you think Miro Heiskanen, who is an incredible defenseman, do you think he has that same potential as Kyle McCarr? And paraphrasing here, Pete DeBoer basically said no. Like, no, we love Miro Heiskanen. He's really good. He's elite, whatever. But he's not Kyle McCarr. Like, that kid's special. He just does things out there that nobody else can. And this goes back to why I made the argument in the preseason that he's maybe the best player on earth right now and not Connor McDavid. There's, I think it was Jay Fresh this morning, put out his ranking. Kale McCarr and Devon Taves are a top five
astronomically
shutdown pair in the NHL. Like, they're a shutdown pair. They are out there. They eat heavy minutes. They penalty kill. When you're protecting a lead, that's the pairing that's out there. And Kale McCarr just shattered the record for fewest games of 200 points for a defenseman. Like, he's just elite on all 200 feet of the ice. Yeah. And I think this record really just kind of punches that home, because you can't be that poor defensively and have this type of production. You know what I mean? If you're bad defensively, you're stuck in your own end. The puck's not in your stick as much. It's a true testament to how truly elite Kale McCarr is all over the ice. And the number of games in which he beat the record by is the most impressive part to me.
What's really exciting about this too is, like, what he's doing for the game. Like,
Sergei Zubov.
It was Zubov, yeah. Oh. Everyone's right, I'm wrong, as usual.
He's changing the position, right?
Like, yeah.
Because he is the person that is changing right now. You're witnessing somebody that is going to change this position forever.
Yep.
And you have all these kids coming up that are seeing this, that are mirroring it. And you're going to see this, like, evolution of the NHL game because of Kale McCarr.
You're almost going to get to, like, a three forwards, a defenseman, and a rover kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
genuinely.
But yeah. The where he is, I fully agree with you, Blaze, where he's really, really changing it. There's been good offensive defensemen. There's been great offensive defensemen for. I don't remember the last one who was this good on both sides of the puck.
Well, it's always been the either or conversation, right? Like, he's great offensively, but
you live
he
with
lacks,
the lumps on defense. Yeah.
And it's part of it that is so impressive. It's not like we haven't seen very good skating defensemen before.
No.
But somehow McCarr always gets back. Like, the dude will skate all the way down to the offensive goal line, and he's the first dude back on defense.
Well, I mean, We were joking when they're on that power play. He's probably, if you're being honest and, like, ranking on paper, he's probably the guy that you want shooting the puck first, or he's at
the
least
second
in the conversation.
At worst,
right?
Probably, yeah.
He is, if not the best skater on this Avalanche team, which is full of
top
elite skaters.
Two.
He's at worst second.
Yeah.
He finished fourth in the fastest skating competition at the All-Star game.
Yep.
He shoots pucks over 100 miles an hour. He can hit his back skating, like you see it in that clip going back to last year's Western Conference Final, where he's essentially going stride for stride skating backwards with Connor McDavid.
Yeah, his gap control is unreal, too.
His gap control, his stick work.
There's no flaw.
Yeah.
He can one-time it. He has an elite wrist shot. He gets pucks through. Like, the way that Kale McCarr is playing right now and the way he's played for the last 6 months, you know, with a few games where he wasn't fully himself at the beginning of the year, like, find all you Connor McDavid, Edmonton, you know, diehards out there, find me evidence that Connor McDavid is that effective in every single category we just listed.
I think Pete DeBoer said it best in the timeliness of his comments this morning, make it all the more succinct, but when he described what made Kyle McCarr special is how he can control games from the back end. Yep. He had a 30-minute night. That is just the kind of on-ice impact that you can't replicate singularly from Connor McDavid. Yeah. It's just all-over impact that is special to Kyle McCarr.
Yeah.
I don't envy opposing coaches' jobs when they look out there every other shift and they're like, fuck, Kale's out there again.
Yeah.
He never gets off the ice. Yeah. And that, you're right, that one-timer posed more of a threat than McKinnon's on the power play. Mm-hmm. Like, you look to him to play a lot of different roles.
Well, and even just narrowing it down to just that power play, him and McKinnon run that switch all the time. So he literally can play on the half wall.
Yep.
Or he can play out high. Like he's just got an unbelievable amount of versatility. And I want to reiterate it one more time. He does it in 195 games, 200 points. The previous record was Sergei Zubov, who did it with two different teams in 207 total games. Like, that's a big difference. That's, you know, like, I'm not overly familiar with, like, F1 and what the finishing times are, but that's literally, like, an eight-second gap. We're, like, on paper, like, oh, only 8 seconds. But that's a lifetime in terms of, like, racing. It's the same thing here. 15 games or 12 games, it's not that many games, but when you're talking about that difference in points,
I think the best way to put it is there has never been a defenseman at over a point per game pace at 200 points ever.
I mean, how long is this going to hold?
This but I mean, record? Bro, how many times have we said that? This record. This I thought you record. Meant the point per game
thing.
No.
Like, how long is this record going to hold now?
Yeah, I mean,
because he just upped the game.
Until the next Cale Makar comes along.
Well, I was going to say, when was Sergei Zubov's first 200 games? So this list, Sergei Zubov, 207, Brian Leetch, 211, Phil Housley, 212, Dennis Potvin, 212, Mark Howe, 216, Bobby Orr, 216. There is not a like modern era name on that list with the exception of Cale Makar now at the top of it at 195.
Yep. Zubov was 90s and 2000s. So,
yeah,
like 20 years, more than 20 years.
And it's just, I'm with you.
It could be a Gretzky one where it's going to be hard to touch.
Could be.
That's going to be a hard one to touch. Yeah. And I'm fully with you, Blaze. Like the all-time, to me, like the all-time greats that you have to like really pay the appreciation to are the ones who revolutionized a position.
Yep.
And that's where I don't think people give Patrick Waugh enough credit, like as much as
completely
he has talked about
changed
it
the position.
As the greatest of all time. Not only did he change the position, he literally changed the equipment.
Yeah,
like the equipment that Alexander Georgiev wore tonight, you don't have without Patrick Waugh and the way he played and pads that he had specially designed so that he could play in the butterfly.
They changed the rules because of him too. There's lines behind the net now.
Right.
Partially because of him.
That was Marty Brodeur.
Him and
Brodeur. It was both of them though, because they played the puck so much.
And you are seeing that with Cale Makar, where he's actually even your good offensive defenseman, just to use Tyson Barrie as the example because he's a memorable name here. You know, he's great skater. Phenomenal hands, great shot, but there's just so many other things that you're missing. Like, I think Megan, it was your point. We've seen good skating offensive defensemen before. Nobody has done it the way that Cale Makar is doing it right now.
Let's bring it back into
even
tonight's,
Bobby Orr.
To tonight's game,
the Cale Makar pod.
special teams. Let's talk about it because the Avs won the special teams battle tonight. PK, again, very, very good. Stars look dangerous on their first one, but didn't get it across the goal line. And the Avs do get the one power play goal. You would have liked another one.
They had six chances at it, right?
But they got one.
And they got one.
They win the special teams battle, and that's why they didn't lose this hockey game.
It's true. Looking at the first period, I'd classify that as a win for the special teams. And then seeing them keep their head above water in the second, everything that they did in the first period became all that more important. And then it was just, I think the Avs controlled the third, but the errors in the final minutes there brought this a little too close to comfort. And so I'd point back to the special teams play of the first period being what won them this game.
Yeah. Yep.
I would like to give chat some credit. I started to say Bubov, and then I corrected myself to Zubov, and they all caught it.
Oh, yeah. They were
fully.
On it.
I think it's so funny.
So 1970.
Sickos.
So again, you're having the Avs do the things they need to do with the roster that they are icing, not by choice but by necessity, and they're making their lives more reasonable by winning special teams battles. With that being said, outside of the last 10 minutes of the second period, I don't have many complaints at 5-on-5 for this hockey team.
So just a real quick note on Zubov. He came into the league at 23 with the New York Rangers. Never scored more than 12 goals between then and the time he hit the 200-point mark in a season. And he was majorly buoyed in 93-94 by a 77-assist season for 89 total points. I mean, that not taking a thing away from him, but just compare that to what Cale Makar's last few seasons have looked like. And again, the next closest person on the list, it just...
It's not close.
The sauce was made in a very different way.
Yep. He's just special. It's just the truth. Continuing forward in this game, I actually didn't mind the first half of the second period. I thought the Avs were playing fine. Megan's not so confident.
I'm just reflecting.
Thinking hard about it.
I feel like it was fine because the types of errors they were making were like errant passes and a couple turnovers. None that in the first half of the second period directly led to a goal against. But I don't know. It's still hard after the England play.
Yeah, and I mean, look. First of all, the Avs get beat on that play. England ends up on the wrong side of it. Cross-checked Robertson. It's a penalty. There's no doubt about it. Are we all comfortable with the decision Toronto made on that being a good goal?
I mean, I don't think there was a call on the ice.
Sure.
So you didn't need anything like hard, definitive to overturn it.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all saying during the game, I thought it was a weird one to go with a goal call on that, given the just several circumstances that led up to it. But like ultimately, I don't have a problem with that one counting.
If England doesn't push him in there, is it a goal?
I don't know. You get into like...
I'm just wondering, is that the reasoning
right
why they went with, okay, that's a goal? Because
I think
it
would have
gone in anyways.
Well, I don't know about that. Like, because does Robertson end up touching him if England doesn't push him?
Right.
Like,
yeah, I don't know. And then it was just the verbiage on it was weird. He didn't have possession.
Yeah.
The puck was sitting on top of his pad. You know, Rudo, you and I were making the point that like I've seen them blow plays dead for less.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought it was all around just kind of weird. But again, I thought that was a pretty coin flip call, and you're not really upset with it.
And as Chad has mentioned, England, buddy, stop trying to murder your goaltenders.
Yeah.
Please.
No kidding.
not a good look when you've now caused the collision with both of the Avs goalies.
I feel so bad. I can't even offer much defense, especially for what happened tonight specifically.
Yeah. It was just a poor play all around. He ends up on the wrong side of the play, regardless of cross-checking Robertson. And then the goal ends up going against him as he cross-checks him straight into the goal. I don't know.
You can't be the reason for major contact on your own goalies twice in a row.
Right.
No.
And both of them resulting in a goal against, ultimately.
Right. Like, pretty indefensible. He plays hard hockey, and I know that taking penalties is just something that he does, but you can't take a defensive zone penalty like that.
Well, and it's also just one of those things where he's a fine defenseman, but that you really do see the hard line between NHLer and
not
fringe NHLer, AHL regular.
Yep.
Where it's just those small little plays where, like, again, he's fine.
Outside of that play, hard to complain much about his night.
He had that one really bad turnover that led to kind of an extended zone
time.
That's
true.
But,
the one non-clear.
But
that was a board battle.
Yeah.
Decision. Yeah. Just trying to clear the zone there. Yeah.
For sure. For a full-time AHL guy, you're like, you kind of expect
You live
those,
with those words for sure. It is what it is. I mean, you know, the Avs could replace him with Keaton Middleton if they wanted, I guess. You probably wouldn't notice.
You guys would not be happy with that,
I promise. Yeah, right.
He's a monster, though, too, isn't he?
He is.
6'8".
He is. They're both humongous. Yeah. They play very similarly, but I think England has just a tiny bit more skill upside.
Okay. But the reality is there just aren't options there unless you want to full chaos
Wyatt?
Mode.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding, first of all.
What did Martin Kaut finish at ice time wise?
It has to be terrible. Low because of the injury, right? With the injury, that's
it
not
was
that
more
bad.
Than Dryden Hunt and Jason Magna.
Yeah. Well, they were bad, so. They weren't terrible. They just didn't do anything like most nights. Anyway,
not bad. Invisible.
Yeah, that's a
truly,
better way to
truly.
Put it. Better way to put it. Good call. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. I don't know if you guys know this, but if you haven't checked our Twitter, Avs Party Bus officially announced for December 17th. If nothing else, buy a ticket and come be part of my birthday celebration because that happens to be on my birthday.
Really?
He's going to wear cupcake glasses.
There are extremely limited tickets. There are only 30 tickets for people who need tickets to the game. We're also selling bus tickets for people who already have tickets to the game, though. If you want to join us on the bus, you can go get them at thednvr.com right now. If you're already a diehard, just go in there and get them. Keep your eyes peeled for more about the whole party bus shenanigans. But it's going to be the 17th of December. Come have a great takeover with us while we go hard. Last time was the time I took my shirt off in the arena. So you might not want to miss out on what could happen this time.
I thought that's 30. What you were saying. He was going to wear the cupcakes.
Like a Katy Perry.
It's almost like the Avs are the hot ticket in town.
Yeah.
Boobov.
Yeah.
The definite boobov energy.
Right over his boobov.
Take off the pants.
Yeah,
you can't take off the pants in the arena. That's how you get kicked out.
For sure. It's good in a wrestling.
Lifetime ban. Yeah.
If you're not on the party bus, but you still need tickets, Game Time can get you hooked up with your tickets. Prices up to 60% off original prices. So check them out. There's a link down in the description of this video. You can go right through that. One, it gets you right there to the app. Two, it helps us out a little bit if you use the link. So be sure to do it. You can see it right there on screen. When you're in there, they've got a bunch of awesome stuff. You can click in. It'll show you what the seats look like. You can get the image of the seat. I don't know what to call it. You know what it's going to look like where you're sitting. Pepsi Ball Arena. I keep doing that. Is pretty good about this. There aren't really many restricted sight lines at Ball Arena. But Game Time is a nationwide thing. So if you're going to go to some of the buildings in New York, might want to check those seats before you just buy them. Good thing you can do that at Game Time. Go check them out. Again, use the link down in the description. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Wanted to start this one specifically. Ooh. Josh Manson beat that ass.
I was actually just watching that fight.
Perfect. No notes.
A surprising one, right? I don't think any of us were like, boy, I'm super confident in Josh Manson versus Jamie Benn going into this fight. But
you got him two for flinching, too, before the fight started.
Yeah. Got him with the jab fake.
A win for the girls.
Like I said, Josh Manson is the person who's now put Jamie Benn in a box, so...
I mean, when they first dropped the gloves, all of us were like, ugh, I don't know about this. Because Jamie Benn's beat the shit out of some people in the past. Like,
oh, he's
definitely.
He can throw them for sure. And literally from the second they engaged, from that flinch, it was just all Manson just throwing. Now, I also want to point out, Josh Manson peeled his elbow pad off on his right arm real quick before starting to throw him. And I feel like that helped him a little bit, but... I mean, he caught him like right on the butt, and Benn goes down, and that was an impressive. I tweeted it was an impressive fight. Honestly, I'm not the world's biggest
guy. None of us really are.
I liked that one.
I mean,
in terms of like the timing of it, it was a big hit. Jamie Benn came over, challenged him. He obliged. Then proceed to beat the shit out of him.
As much as most people, even like fans of hockey fighting, most fights are just two dudes like grab up and nothing really lands. And that's something they fall over. That's the fight. Josh Manson landed punches in this fight.
And that's
the
awesome.
One that put him down was on the chin.
Yeah, dude. Nailed him. And what you just said, Rudo, is like one of my biggest issues with some of the fights now. It's like a two-on-one break. Two guys behind the play drop the gloves, dance around for 30 seconds, spin around, then fall. And it's like, wow, that was...
not exciting.
Completely useless for everybody. But a fight like that was fun. That was fun to watch.
Yep. An actual good one. So
like McDermott's had some good ones too, where it's like,
yep,
it's actually a fight and not
a wrestling at best. Yeah, for sure. So look, credit to Josh there. I think you take that trade if you're the Avs every time of Manson for Ben.
That's a good one.
And then like shenanigans got really weird. The Avs ended up having to kill a penalty with four defensemen because Englund took one.
Did he? No, I thought that was the one that ended up getting called.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. That's my bad.
Still mysteriously gone. Also, so it was a really dicey.
Came back later.
Yeah, that second period was. I don't know. I didn't. The Avs got like outplayed a little, but I never really felt outside of that one kind of extended shift. I didn't feel like they got run out of there at all.
Pretty heavily outpossessed in the second half.
Sure. Yeah.
But again, yes, there were issues. They struggled to clear their own zone at times. They didn't give up a ton of dangerous stuff.
Nope.
Yeah, a lot of it was along the boards, but it was definitely possession Dallas, just moving the puck along the boards.
Yep.
Again, not a lot of dangerous chances coming out front.
So, are you ready to talk about the third?
Yeah, I'm just about to get to it.
Sweet. Would you like to set it up at all?
If you got something, send it.
So, it's funny because, Rudo, you made the comment at the very end of the second, and you said, all right, well, you got outplayed there a little bit, but win one period, win the hockey game. I went to the Bronco game yesterday with my sweet dad. This is my sweet, sweet Faja. And we were watching that train wreck unfold, and it was the end of the second half where Melvin Gordon fumbles it on the one, blocked field goal. And I told my dad, I said, so here's another interesting test for this Bronco team. You have Russell Wilson, you have some of these guys around. And I said, not to make too hard of a comparison, but one of the things that people really admire about Jared Bednar within hockey circles is his 5-minute philosophy. You play the game in 5-minute chunks. Hey, did you score 2 goals in that last 5 minutes? Great. Next 5 minutes, it's a fresh set. Go out and start over. Did you give up 3 goals in that last 5 minutes? Doesn't matter anymore. You got the next 5 minutes to make something happen. And I told my dad, I said, here's a chance. This Broncos, they could turn their season around in the second half. They come out, erase everything, and, you know, just play good football. Well, they come out, they muff the opening kickoff, and just things start to snowball downhill. The game gets tied late, and I said, again, you have an opportunity here. The game is 0-0. Nothing matters. You're in a tie game. Like, how can you be resilient and push back? And it's just so funny to see, obviously it's two completely different sports, but like the dichotomy between a team that is stuck in a losing cycle that can't get out of their own way versus, you know, a defending championship caliber team where they got outplayed in the second half of that second period.
Roll out in the third and
the start of the third.
Yep.
It's like, yep, none of that matters. We're in a tie game. Who cares? It's a completely fresh period. For all intents and purposes, none of that even happened. Like it's 0-0.
Yep.
And they come out, they get a quick goal. They actually controlled most of the play there in the third. Jason Robertson ties it late. But it's just so, it's amazing to watch a difference between, and you can see it in hockey too, but it's just my last 24 hours of sports, how teams that aren't championship winning teams, they can't reset the clock like that.
And look, you're starting to see over these last couple of games, we've talked about it a little bit now, it's a buy-in from the entire team.
Yep.
Who's the guys that get the Avs back on top? It's not the big guns. It's Josh Manson, Evan Rodriguez, Alex Newhook.
Yeah, yeah.
For the third straight game that Newhook, Evan Rodriguez, whatever line you want to call it, picks up another goal for this team.
And England, right, on that play?
Well, it wasn't England, not Manson.
England threw it out to the point. Manson took the shot, and then Rodriguez. So England would have gotten, like, the third assist, but he was in on the play. Yes.
Regardless, more focused on the forward line gelling than whichever defenseman it was.
Justice for Andreas Englund.
But no, it is just that's becoming increasingly. We talked about it so much last year with Tampa in those early playoff rounds where it's like, wow, just the calmness of these guys. Nothing seems to rattle them. This Avalanche team has really seemed like they've settled into that. You have the injuries. You're on the road. It's the last game of a road trip. You just got really outplayed. But you got outplayed in the back half of a period, but you find yourself in a tie game, and they're able to say, cool, reset it all to zero, and we're going to go out and win a period. And, you know, it ends up going to overtime and all that stuff. But just their ability to push back, and anytime an opponent starts getting any momentum, they have a way of cutting that
stemming
off.
Stemming it in some way.
And just kind of resetting the momentum of the game. And they took full advantage of that intermission and came out. And I thought we're definitely the better team there for 19 minutes of the third.
I mean, it is a throwback to the Avs of the late 90s, 2000s, where it didn't matter if they were down by a goal, if it was tied up late in a game.
Yep.
You had this confidence like they're going to get either A back into it or they're going to do something to break this tie.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in, you know, winning teams. Being around that Avs group last year for every game, they're like at every morning skate, it wasn't, what did Jerry Bednar say? It's confidence, but not arrogance.
Yep.
You'd walk into, you know, family sports, you'd talk to guys, you'd walk into Ball Arena, talk to guys before a game, and there was just this confidence of like, yeah, we're going to win tonight. Like, we expect ourselves to win tonight. And that was why, you know, they would, you know, rattle off 13 wins in a row. They'd lose one, and they were miserable to talk to after the game because they were pissed because they expected themselves to win every single night.
A team running away with a division, they'd lose one game, and the guys would come back and be like, you know, this was one of the worst losses of my career.
Yeah, it's like it's not gonna, dude. The amount of times we heard from Jared Bednar this season, after a win, and he's like, it's just not acceptable. Like that, we got away with it. That level of play isn't acceptable. And you know, then you see teams, you know, like the Buffaloes and you know, Toronto once they get into the playoffs. And just to reuse my Broncos analogy, when things start going bad, you see it on the players' faces. They're expecting to lose. I remember we were watching a game, an Avs game was about to start, I think, in that first round of the playoffs last year. And it was game six, Toronto-Tampa. Tampa goes to that 5-on-3. And I said, this 5-on-3 is the series. Because they showed a pan down the bench of the Maple Leafs, and you could see it on their faces. They had the lead still. But it was a 5-on-3, and they just had this look on their faces like, oh, fuck. Here we go again. And I said, if Toronto can kill this 5-on-3, they'll survive. They'll get out of it. They'll prove to themselves. If Tampa scores, the series is over. Tampa wins, even though they still have to win another one. And that was exactly what ended up happening. Nikita Kucherov scores that one goal. Toronto never stood a chance the rest of the way. The losing teams, losing cultures expect to lose. Winning teams, championship caliber teams, show up every night and expect that they're going to win a game.
And you turn this into this third period where it isn't just, okay, the Avs get the go-ahead goal again. They pretty much dominated the first 13, 14, 15 minutes of that period. The only real complaint you might have is you really would have liked them to finish one more.
Hit the net.
Yeah. They had opportunities. Megan, is this a real concern that they didn't win this in regulation, or is this this happens, move on?
I think in evaluating how we felt in pregame and looking at how Dallas stacked up against this team on paper, I'm completely satisfied with this outcome and getting a win and an overtime. Well, a shootout, sorry. I didn't expect it to happen in regulation. I honestly had real concerns just given how injury depleted the Avs are. But I think when you described it as a buy-in earlier, it makes a lot of sense because you look at the early struggles of this team. They were having team meetings to set that expectation and that buy-in.
Yep.
It seems like it's beginning to click for them. And even as injured as they are, it's great to see goal scoring happening from a guy like Alex Newhook. Yep. And it's great to see them pull out wins even with so many guys out of the lineup.
Yep.
Injuries are a just reality in sports, and you have to have this type of buy-in and this type of commitment to structure and commitment to your role in order to survive those injuries. And that's why you see so many teams can't do it, And now for, I'll just go back 1 year, but now for 2 years in a row, you have seen this Avs team lose guys to injuries at key times, key players, and just keep chugging along.
Yep.
Now, you don't want to let this linger for too long because you're talking about, you know, a lot of minutes and, you know, you're putting more wear and tear on guys' bodies that you don't want to. So, you know, obviously you want those guys back. But it's impressed the hell out of me how the loss of Nazem Kadri for the Western Conference Final, Darcy Kemper for two rounds, Sam Girard for essentially three rounds, Andrei Burakovsky, like, all of those are footnotes. Nobody even mentions that when you're telling the story of the Stanley Cup run by the Avs. Yep. Because it just didn't affect them on a nightly basis. It just didn't because of their commitment to playing the way that they should. And everyone has a role and everyone understands it. And, hey, we have a guy out. I need to play this role. I'm going to play that role better than anyone else in the league. I'm going to get 8 minutes tonight, but they're going to be the best 8 minutes that anyone sees. And it's just, it's incredibly impressive.
I do want to give Dallas a little bit of credit for getting this game to overtime. Yes, in a perfect world, the Avs probably are marking Jason Robertson. That's probably the one guy you don't want beating you in that situation. But sometimes really good players make really good plays. And Jason Robertson takes a tough angle shot, makes the perfect shot, and it's in the back of your net, and it's 2-2.
Yeah.
So I really don't even have that much to fault on the Avs on that goal that they gave up. It's way more, you should have got to three for me on that one.
And Ottinger was great.
Yeah, Ottinger was insane, obviously. You do get to the overtime, which was weird.
It's a different look for the Avs.
Yeah.
That was a really interesting way you said yeah.
It was just so passive. Not that I'm necessarily complaining about that.
Wait, the overtime?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think the Avs circled with their first unit like five times.
It was almost like it was like the first part was like, we got to go out there and win this before we go to a shootout. Right? Because they like YOLO'd down the ice. Now always have this odd man rush
did the
going
thing
back
they
the other way
always
if it doesn't
do.
Happen.
Yeah.
Right? And this time it was like, find your opportunity.
Yep.
Let's wait to see where we get a break and go in and try to make a good play.
And, you know, we haven't listened to the post game yet, but I think all of us at one point brought up, like, Bednar had to say something to these guys. Like,
I'm going to watch it tonight, and if no one asked him, assuming they practice tomorrow, that's going to be one of the first things I ask him. Is like, overtime looked very different from you guys. And honestly, it's what's been so frustrating about this team in overtime is, like, on paper, you should have the best overtime team in the league by a mile. Maybe that Oilers top unit can kind of compete, but like past that, like this should be the best overtime team. And where I feel like they get themselves in a lot of trouble is, like you said, Blaze, like, we need to win this right now. And it's like, no, you got 5 minutes. Like, it's cool. Like, and I made the comment, like that was some roller hockey that you saw there. You don't have the look you want.
Well,
take it back.
Yep.
Go back. Wait till you find the look that you want. And Nate almost got it. Like, he got the look he wanted.
Yeah, just didn't close.
Great move. Couldn't finish it, but
that was a great move.
It was a great move.
So this overtime wears on because the Avs actually do play it patiently. We still haven't seen a look of the
great song,
the Avs trip on Marchment, but it goes the other way and the Marchment trip on McKinnon gets called. Ultimately, it didn't end up affecting the game, end the game on that power play. So I don't really want to go into the refereeing conversation there too much. But again, it did feel like one too many opportunities maybe got away from the Avs. You really would have liked to see them finish that on the power play in overtime. They don't get it done. Not for lack of good looks. Just doesn't go in the net. And I get to sit here and say, in the end, it doesn't matter. But there's a very similar reality to this one where it did matter and the Avs lose. So,
for the record, Jared Bednar passed Don Cherry on the NHL all-time wins leaderboard. He's now 64th all-time.
Fire Bednar.
That number could get pretty high. Just saying.
Who's the dude that's always in our mentions that hates Jared Bednar and thinks the team's going to suck.
He's only here after losses, so and, I don't and, know.
Yeah, he's always like he's always talking about what a bad coach he is. They won the cup. They're like three games into this season, and I saw him like, yeah, how long is it going to last, though, once things start going bad? It's like, yeah, once things are bad, they're not good. Duh. Like, what a profound statement. Bad isn't good.
Is there something more you guys would have liked to see out of overtime, or are you happy to live with that game?
They played carefully. I do think it was a different look for them. And then it kind of seems like the intention was they were content to see it go to a shootout.
Yeah.
They understood playing carefully would likely lead to that.
I think there's a lot of trust in your goalie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of trust that you have that offensive power that you're going to put one past a great goaltender on the other side.
Yeah.
Ottinger's not a scrub, but, you know, he's like an elite goalie.
Yep.
And it just felt like they're comfortable going into the shootout.
Definitely seemed that way, particularly in the last minute or so. Yeah. They were like, all right, the power play didn't do it. Let's just chill.
Yep.
On that note, we are brought to you by the American Raptors. You can go for a night out at Infinity Park in Glendale for $0. AmericanRaptors.com to get tickets completely free. Some of the best rugby in the world getting played over there. They host the U.S. men's and women's 15 teams. The Raptors are playing in league. There are a bunch of athletes from other sports, including the NFL. I think there's some basketball players there, too. A whole bunch of other sports as well that are surprisingly decent team for a team that a year ago, a bunch of these dudes have never played professional rugby. Went 5-5 last year and are stepping up to the plate. So go check them out. I highly recommend AmericanRaptors.com. Follow the DNVR rugby account on Twitter. Our guy Colton Strickler doing amazing work on that rugby beat. It's kind of a dope sport too. We were talking earlier about how slow soccer is. Rugby ain't that slow.
No.
Rugby's got some pace to it, so highly recommend you check it out. Also brought to you by the amazing people over at... Oh, that's Breckenridge Brewery. I already did that read, JK. That's all of our reads. third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. You get to the shootout. You guys kind of already mentioned it. First of all, beyond just the shootout... Not, I would be remiss to not give credit to Alexander Georgiev again tonight.
Yes.
Played very, very well. Made the big saves when he needed to, including the fantastic save on Joe Pavelski's shootout attempt. Somehow gets across and gets the blocker on it.
Yeah.
Dude's good.
Yeah.
I out of words to explain that guy, too, because he's been critical to the Avs' start to the season so far. Someone in chat asked if they think Georgiev can get to the 41 win mark that Varlamov had. I think that's going to be tough, just given the Avs have Francouz behind him. They have a backup they have faith in as well, so there's no reason to push a guy like that. But, I mean, Georgiev's got 11 wins now. So, or is it at 10 wins, I guess? Because the Avs moved to 11-5-1, so it'd be 10 wins. Still, I mean, Georgiev's been excellent. And again, a running theme with all of these injuries, the guys you've needed to step up have in every single occasion, whether it's in goal, whether it's your top line, whether it's Kale McCarr, the dudes you need to be good have been good, which leads us to the final scoring event of the game. Mikko Rantanen has the walk in and just rip a puck into the net shootout move down pretty well, doesn't he?
Man, that it's so low-key amazing what he does, because it's a stick handle to a shot that looks like just another stick handle move.
Yeah.
And it's the timing of it. The goalie is just not set. Ottinger's not set, and he blows it past him.
It's the posture. It's, you know, we mentioned
the hips.
When we're watching the game, the hips. His hips are pointed as if he's going to try to, like, make a move to the short side. But then, to your point, he's standing up straight, just looking like he's stick handling. He's not, like, in shooting position. His hands are a little bit tight together.
It's that Phil Kessel mid-stride kind of.
Yeah, and it's just you blink, and suddenly, if you're Ottinger, like, he honestly was, like, pretty out of position by the time that puck hit the back of the net. Mikko had caused him to, like,
drift
so subtly to the right that was just like a dunk for Mikko. And it's I'm with you, Blaze. Like, it's very subtly pretty outstanding.
My brain can't even comprehend what it would be like to be a hockey player good enough to be 15 feet away from the goalie still and be like, I got him.
I mean, that shootout goal kind of sums up Rantanen in as a player, though.
Yeah,
though.
For sure.
Like, low-key, just like... Da, 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 da. Goal.
One. This is the same guy who, again tonight, put a big reverse hit down.
Yes.
Is finding that physicality in his game.
Yes.
But still can just beat you with all talent.
Yeah. I mean, Rudo, to your point, I've said it on the show before, I'd kill all three of you guys to be able to shoot the way those guys do.
In a heartbeat.
Right here on air.
I'd kill all three of you to shoot like Tyson Joe shoots.
Just watching those dudes at practice is so fun. Just zip pucks so casually. It's like, okay. Okay.
We kind of already talked about him, but just officially their king of the game. Could have given it to a bunch of guys tonight, but the guy who did something is like
200 points in this game.
Incredible record. Never to be broken. Wild that the score only had 5 goals and he managed to pull that off. But Cale Makar, truly the first of many on a completely different level. All the credit in the world to him. We got a couple of super chats to get to, and then we'll hit our final thoughts. $5 from DeGro, who says, I love Robertson, got denied the OT gold.
Love this chat. There's so many typos, I think, out of excitement. I can feel the excitement.
$2 from Kevin. Moose got it done when it mattered.
Also
too true.
Excited.
Too true. The always unbelievable. Oh, okay, we're going to Kevin again first. $2 more. Thank you. Moose got it done in OT. It was a shootout, technically, if we're being technical about it, the same way Josh Manson technically knocked out Jamie Benn. And then $5 from Vaguely Sober saying, Georgie, king of the game, how many knives Megan got in that bag?
I have to make fun of Megan a little bit. We were just giving her shit in the press box last home game. She realized, whoa. Tough guy, oh, tough guy alert.
Oh, yeah, bud.
Megan, we feel so bad. She watches the entire game with her bag in her lap. We were saying that Bolding and I were saying we were going to bring a hook for her to be able to latch it underneath so she doesn't have to hold her bag
the
whole time.
You see the knives?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Secretly, she just got one hand in the bag, like on a knife. What? Boys. Oh. No, nothing. I'm fine holding it. Yeah. Oh, dude, that is one of my favorite one of my favorite memes ever. Conan was, but not for me.
And then the unbelievable Drew, who gives us way too much money. Another $50. Makar is a god, Manson is an animal, Georgie is legit, and Megan needs to be ready to take a knife to England.
I'm not doing that.
Keeps trying to run our goalies.
It's like the ultimate crossroads for you, goalies versus Eagles.
Right. I don't know what I would choose, to be honest. I just need England to report back to Loveland. They need
to separate the two.
Yes, exactly. Put them in timeout.
All right, Megan, you want to start us off with final thoughts?
Angels and Airwaves? God damn, just banger after banger down here.
Just a good road win.
Just a good road win. And it would be remiss if you didn't say, look, when this game started, if the Avs got 1 point out of it, you're happy. 5 out of 6 on the road, killing it.
Yeah.
They get all 6.
Especially with a team that's like with this many injuries.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be happy with what's going on right now.
They knock off Carolina, Capitals, and then Dallas Stars. Like, those are not slouch teams. Like, Washington hasn't gotten off to the start that they've wanted. I stand firm. I think Darcy Kemper's a very good goaltender.
Same.
Even with Washington's injuries, you've still got guys like Ovechkin. I think they had Kuznetsov out. Like, you've got players. John Carlson. That's a good team. They knock them off handily in a shutout. And then you roll into Dallas, the top team in the Central. You know they were going to be a little extra motivated to try to knock off the Avs, keep them at bay. They got Roope Hintz back. So that's the best the Dallas Stars have,
well,
like in terms of their roster.
We talked about this earlier in the last week, about how, oh, well, you want to make teams know you're good at home.
Yeah.
This was on the road, but still, teams are going to look at the Avs roster, look that they won three in a row on this road trip and go, fuck.
They won three games where they didn't have the matchup advantage, and they have the like half of their top nine injured.
Like, they have an AHL.
Yeah. and like they, right, right.
Pobrecito England.
And like they don't get their matchups, none of that. And really, that Carolina game, oof,
got through it.
Wasn't great, but like you get a hell of a performance from your goaltender. Yeah. You like, I don't know how you're not coming back from that feeling really good. You get a game on Wednesday, you get the holiday off, and then you're right back into it. Like it's I think that's a really successful trip for a depleted Avs team that had every excuse to go 0-3 on this trip, and I think we would have like been annoyed, but like, you're really injured, you're on the road,
you
three
don't like
good
them
teams
to get one, but
yeah, for sure. But just incredibly impressive that they're able to go 3-for-3 on this road trip and play two very good games. I don't think you could be happier if you're Jared Bednar right now.
Hard agree. I'm gonna leave it at that. We're gonna get out of here for this one. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us. This one was a blast. Honestly, just like I like good hockey, and this was a good hockey
really
game.
Good.
It was a fun game. Yeah.
So enjoyable. We love all of you. We are off tomorrow. It's gonna be a weird week. We'll be back on Wednesday. Obviously off Thursday, but we'll see you for the game on Wednesday. So tune in then. Until then, we will talk to you on the next one.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.